The mules are in the corral. Welcome to Mule Talk, and I'm Cindy K. Roberts, your host.
And our author, TV personality, and world-renowned mule trainer, Meredith Hodges of the Lucky Three Ranch.
And here we are.
Meredith, I just want to tell you, I've been to the post office and checking all the wanted posters, and I didn't see you up there this week, okay? So I just
Not yet.
So, but I'm always checking it out.
Well, I'm trying not to put my foot in my mouth, but seems like I do that anyway. It's just one of my main characteristics. But you know, I just hope that the things that I'm saying are things that will help other people.
Well, you bet. Sure.
You know, these are just things that I've learned in my 50 years of dealing with equines and everything, and I'm just passing it on. People don't have to believe it or not, but I just want you to know that if I do repeat something publicly, it's because I am 100% sure it is fact, or I would not say it.
Exactly. So we are going to talk about multiple facets of long ears hybrid vigor, and if only we could bottle this, you know?
I know. It's pretty, you know, haphazard the way this has come about in the world, and it's not, you know, because people thought that the most important thing was to run around and talk about how stubborn and ornery mules were and didn't give them much credence or anything optimistic or positive. This is what they talk about, and this is what they research, is how ornery they are, and they really haven't gotten into the, like we call it here, the multiple facets of their hybrid vigor.
Right.
They would opt to look at it like, oh, well, the only way you can get a mule is by breeding a female horse to a male donkey, and that's a one-time thing, so they're kind of worthless because you can't use them for breeding. But that's not entirely true, which you will find out today in the things that I'm going to bring up here. Yes, that is a one-time breeding, and then people get very confused when you start talking about hennies. They just don't know what to think when you breed a female donkey to a male horse. But we're going to talk about all that, but let's start out by defining hybrid vigor. Hybrid vigor is the increase in certain characteristics like the growth rate, the size, the fertility, the yield of a particular hybrid organism over its parents. Hybrid vigor is also known by other names, including heterosis, inbreeding, enhancement, and hybrid vigor occurs because the hybrid offspring's traits are enhanced due to the mixing of genetic contribution of the parents. And that's why mules tend to inherit the best from their parents, as do hennies. And hennies are very much like mules. And it's very difficult to tell the difference between them sometimes. Now, a lot of people like to say that hennies look more like horses and they have a donkey body and you can tell the difference that way. But that's not always true. The mule is a hybrid cross between a male donkey and a female horse. And because the mule most often demonstrates the best traits from each parent, he possesses what we call hybrid vigor. The mule inherits from the donkey his incredible strength, his intelligence, his patience, his perseverance, his endurance, and sure-footedness from the jack, and his equine beauty, athletic ability, and speed from the horse. The henny is also sometimes called a mule, although the henny is a hybrid cross between a male horse and a female donkey. Mules and hennies are very difficult to tell apart without a DNA test. And I've had scientists even tell me that even that is questionable. The henny generally resembles a horse more than it does a donkey. It looks more like a horse with long ears, and it looks much like a mule. The henny has been used as a saddle animal from antiquity and is more difficult to produce than the mule, because the genet doesn't often conceive well to the stallion. The hinny is somewhat slower and more meticulous mover than the mule, but a laid-back mule can also offer those similar characteristics. So even some mules, like my whole herd of mules, all have very horsey-looking heads and bodies.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you look at my herd, you'd probably look and, oh, are those hinnies? Well, no, they're not. They're just from extraordinary breeds of mares that exhibit. They've inherited those really fine characteristics from their mother. Then their father was, although he was a large standard jack, he wasn't a mammoth. So they didn't get those big heavy joints that make them look muley. So that's why they look more horse-like. So even though you want to give a nice stereotype and say a hinny looks more like a horse and the mule looks more like an ass, well, that's not necessarily true.
Right.
The hinny inherits his way of going from the genet, as does the mule from the jack, which tends to be a little faster, more energetic, and more agile with the contribution of his dam, the mare. So it's really a combination of all these traits. When you mix donkeys and horses in general, the hinny, because of his meticulous way of going, is actually better in very steep, rocky terrain, and especially in loose rock, and will not tire as quickly as a mule. I think generally, just from my own observations, it's because hinnies tend to be a little smaller than mules are, because a lot of mules are from taller mares. And so when you breed a stallion to a genet, for instance, you got to be very careful about what are the sizes of the stallions and the genets that you're using. Because if you've got a big stallion and a small jenny, she could have a lot of trouble during the birth process if the colt's too big. And he could be too big if his father's too big. So that's something that you do have to consider when breeding for hinnies. Hinnies are the preferred equine in Mexico and Central America due to their diligence when working. Gated hinnies are preferable in this kind of terrain where there's little opportunity to gallop, and they offer a really smooth ride. The hooves of a hinny tend to be more donkey-like, but that's not absolute either. But they are narrow, oval, and more upright, where the hooves of the mule will look more horse-like. They'll still be very upright, and they will be a little rounder than a hinny hoof, although they're still oval, not round like horse feet. And they're slightly more angular than that of a donkey hoof, but not as flat, round, and angled as the horse hoof. On both hinnies and mules, the hooves should be trimmed more upright and the heels should be left longer than the hooves of the horse. The hinny will also eat a variety of different kinds of shrubs and bushes to sustain himself, and that's why they like him so well in South America, where the mule will be more selective, again, because of his influence of the mare. This makes the hinny more desirable to those people living in remote mountain areas with a very little vegetation. Both the mule and the hinny have more endurance by far than the horse. They're more resistant to parasites and disease. They require less feed for good health. They have tougher hooves than the horse. And they have an incredible sense of self-preservation that keeps them safe, which is often mistaken for stubbornness. That's what people get stuck on, is they think it's stubborn, but they don't really think about it enough.
Right.
You know, they need to go a little deeper with their thought.
Yes.
The horse has a flight reflex when startled, and the donkey has a freeze reflex. Mules and hinnies can exhibit both the freeze and the flight reflexes, depending on their own unique personalities and the situations at hand. Certain breeds of mares do not conceive well with the jack as other breeds. Now, when we were breeding 60 head of brood mares at Windy Valley Ranch in Healdsburg, California, at my mom's ranch, we had mares from all different breeds. And it was our experience that most of them crossed passed well with the Jacks, but the Morgan mares were really hard to settle for some reason. Warm blood mares were really hard to settle. So when breeding for mules, since the Jacks are generally smaller and of slighter build than a horse, mule foals are generally smaller than horse foals. And the mare has very little problem when foaling. When breeding for hennies, like I said, one needs to be cautious because the genets are smaller and of a slighter build than the mares. So a large stallion could produce a foal that would be too large and difficult for the genet to easily foal. This is the reason that breeding for mules is more popular than breeding for hennies. Matching the size of the parents is much more important with hennies. It's more difficult for a genet to settle after being bred to a stallion than it is for a mare to settle after being bred to a jack. So breeding for hennies can take significantly longer. And when you're breeding mules, it's also extremely important to match, you know, what you want in your mule with, you know, the conformation of the mare, the disposition of the mare, the conformation of the jack, and the disposition of the jack, because you know that when you're breeding these two together, the offspring is going to take the most positive characteristics from both of them. You want to keep that in mind, and you want to compliment them. If the donkey jack has a long back, I would be very, very cautious about using him for breeding at all. But if the mare has a significantly shorter back, it might be okay because they might complement each other and the mule might end up with back that's somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
But taking that chance is not necessarily a good thing to do.
Right.
It's better to go ahead and use a jack and a mare with excellent conformation for their breed. That's just really important to do. One of the common misinformation is a lot of people want gated animals, and so they go to look to breed to a gated jack. Be careful about that. There aren't very many donkeys that are truly gated.
Right.
You have a lot of them that are truly lazy. and it's easier for them to pace instead
sure.
of doing that four-beat gated animal gait. So if you're looking at a jack and you think he's gated because he's going along really smooth, look at his legs and make sure that he's not just pacing. And if he's pacing, it's going to be a two-beat gait. Or it might be a three-beat stumble gait. You never know. Well, if he's lazy, he can give you all kinds of gaits that haven't even been named yet.
Right.
You know? I mean, there are some out there that are truly gated, but you just got to know what to look for, that's all. Now, I'll just kind of go over briefly what the physical characteristics of the donkey are. The ass has a distinctive bray. He's got long ears, a short, upright, and thin mane with hair only on the end of his tail. Looks like a broomstick. Mules tend to look more horse-like than donkeys. Asses and mules can come in a wide variety of colors. Oh boy, can they. Even more than horses because of the interbreeding between the donkeys and the horses. So, because the donkeys have a lot of variation in color. And then you couple that with the variation in color with the horses and you've got like twice as much color that can happen. Unlike the oval shape of the horse's hooves, ass's hooves are upstanding and made for rock and mountain climbing. They're tough and elastic, non-chipping, and can grow to long lengths when the animal's on soft ground and the hooves are left untrimmed. And that's why it's really important to have a good farrier routine. And it should be according to the individual animal because their hooves are not all going to grow at the same time, same length and all of that. They're individuals. So some of their hooves are going to grow faster, some of them are going to not grow as fast, and so you're just going to have to gauge your farrier program to how fast the individual animals are growing and how often they need a trim. And that may not be convenient for you because you may have to have the farrier out for an individual more often with one than you do with the other. But if you want them to be healthy, that's what you need to do.
Sure.
Not always convenient for us, but it's healthy for the animal. The ass typically has a long body with long, wiry muscles and a short, straight back. He lacks upstanding withers and is excellent for packing and weight-bearing, and his bone is dense and hard. So that's kind of why they're primarily used for packing. And the gestation on a long ears is 12 months, where the gestation period for a horse is 11 months. Generally speaking, the ass has white belly and white on his muzzle with white circles around the eyes. His colors, like I said, are much like that of a horse. He can come in more colors than the horse, even in Appaloosa. Mule's conformation falls somewhere in between that of the donkey and that of the horse. But you would look at them the same way. You want balance in the body. You want good angles on the hips and shoulders. You want a head that's proportionate to the body, and the length of the legs should be proportionate, and things like that. So he looks like one animal and not an animal that's put together with a bunch of pieces. Again, I'll say that mules inherit the best traits from both its sire and its dam, and they get their athletic ability from the horse, while the strength and intelligence comes from the donkey. Mules today come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, from minis under 50 pounds to maxis or mammoths over 1,000 pounds, and in many, many different colors. Mules from Appaloosa mares produce wildly colored mules, much like their Appaloosa horse relatives, but even with wilder skewed colors. The Appaloosa color is produced by a complex of genes known as the leopard complex. Mares homozygous for the LP gene bred to any colored donkey will produce an Appaloosa colored mule. Now, the general mental characteristics of the ass are pretty similar across the board. The ass is highly intelligent, alert, curious, and affectionate when not worn down by bad conditions, cruel treatment, bad shelter, bad food, and water, or overwork. They are quick to learn, and a well-trained mule is calm, tolerant, loyal, affectionate, obliging, and patient and sensitive, unless interfered with by negative forces. Mules and donkeys might be mistaken as being stubborn when they're actually afraid or confused. An animal that is forced is going to be stubborn. They have an incredible sense of self-preservation, and they're not prone to panic nor carelessness. They recognize danger immediately, and they act accordingly, which frustrates a lot of people. And then it's really the people that are stubborn about forcing what they want on these animals that are always 100% honest in their reactions.
Sure.
Now, what kinds of hybrid equines are there? Well, we're going to start out with a definition, just generally speaking. A male horse is called a stallion. A female horse is called a mare. A male donkey is a jack or a jackass. A lot of people misname mules as mammoths, for instance, and a big mammoth is a big jack, male donkey. He is not a big mule. Johns or horse mules are male mules, and that's the proper terminology for them. Jennets or jennies are a female donkey. A mare mule or a molly mule is a female mule. So people really get up mixed up with the terminology just with those simple definitions. But then when you're talking about hybrids, it really gets confusing. Mule, donkey, and horse hybrids, the mule has a donkey father and a horse mother. The henny has a horse father and a donkey mother. But if it has a donkey father and a mule mother, which is also possible, it's called a donkule or a jewel.
Wow.
If it has a horse father and a mule mother, then it's called a hewel. Now, we didn't used to think that Molly mules can get pregnant, but they can. They just haven't really been documented very well globally. But in the United States, we have two cases that were properly documented. So those were the only two cases, and I'll talk about them later, that we recognize. But around the world, since we've recognized the ones we've done here in the States, all of a sudden these others are coming up out of other places. And they, a lot of times, involve zebras and zebra hybrids. And those are called zebroids. Mm. And so you can get a zebra cross that is called a Z-donk or a zebrass or a zebra donkey or a zonky, a zebronky, a zebra donk, or a zebride. And those are usually a zebra father and a donkey mother. Then you get into the Zorse, the golden zebra, the zebra mule, and they call with a zebra father and a horse mother, it's called a zebrule. With a zebra father and a pony mother, it's called a zony. With a zebra father and a Shetland pony mother, it's called a zetland. A donkey father and a zebra mother is called a zebrette or a donkra. A horse father and a zebra mother is called a hebra, a horbra, or a zebrini. Are you confused yet?
Oh, yeah.
But these are things that have all surfaced as we began to really research the history of donkeys and mules and then get more into the hybrid crosses. And are mules truly sterile? You know, asking those kinds of questions. You know, are the male mules sterile? And the answer to that is, I wouldn't go so far as to say no, okay. A firm no.
Yeah.
But there haven't been any cases cited.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And now there's less likely to have any cases of any fertile male mules because we castrate them. So there aren't as many running around intact to be able to make any kind of assessments like that. So we just say there are no fertile male mules, but we have since found that there are documented cases of fertility in female mules. And although hybrids are typically sterile, the two documented cases of fertility do exist. And I'm talking documented cases. One was known as Old Beck from Texas A&M. And she was a female mule bred first by a stallion, Pat Murphy, and yielded a Huel, Pat Murphy Jr. She was bred a second time to a Jack and produced the Jewel or Doncule, Kate. Mm. The other documented case was a mule named Kraus belonging to Arthur Sylvester in Champion, Nebraska. She was bred to a Jack twice and foaled first with Blue Moon and then with White Lightning. More numerous cases have emerged with the new technology and better national and international communication. I got a story about hinnies from my friend who has been researching a lot of this stuff at their stud farm at Criadero Villa Luz in Colombia. And they actually breed hinnies there. They've got some very nice jacks and hinnies that they can use for breeding. They've bred their jacks to their mare mules, and they've gotten some fertile mules in there. But at the stud farm, they've been breeding mules and donkeys for more than 15 years, and there has been a great demand for their Pasofino male donkey, Jacks, to produce gated mules through the years. Their Jacks are amazing looking.
Wow, yeah.
But they were left with a lot of female donkeys, jinnies, and nobody would buy them to produce mules, even though they have the same good genetics and Pasofino gait of their brothers. So they thought, let's breed hinnies. Mm. And the project began. So it's said that hinnies often have shorter ears, although they're longer than those of horses, and more horse-like manes and tails than mules. Well, their hinnies certainly had the ear shape of the sires. They were beautifully pointed at the top, just like this, but bigger. up until now, the behavior and characteristics of their hennies don't differ much from the mules, but they're lovely animals. It's their goal to study hennies and help to understand them better. And they had a beautiful Pasifino stallion that they used with their jennies to produce these Pasifino hennies. The good news is the Pasifino gait has been passed to the hennies. The gait is natural, and they've seen it in their baby hennies shortly after birth. The Pasifino is a lateral gait, 4-beat footfall, which provides a constant rhythmic cadence. The rider should not experience any bumping or jolting. They say you can carry a tray with a glass of champagne on a Pasifino equine because they're so smooth.
Wow.
We don't know if they got the Pasifino gait from the sire or the dam because both have it, but they're certain they will have Pasifino hennies. Very smooth, intelligent, and well-behaved.
Hmm.
Now, they also, like I said, are breeding their mules to find out if they've got some fertile mules in there. And they say mules cannot give birth and are hostile to foals, but their mare Chucarina has proved completely the opposite. On the 25th of September in 2011, she gave birth to a beautiful baby mule in Colombia, South America, and she is proving to be a great mother. The miracle was achieved thanks to the embryo transplant technique.
Okay.
A 3-day-old embryo was extracted from a mare and implanted in the mule's womb to develop it. The embryo transplants are a complicated process that requires synchronization in the ovulation time in both females. In this instance, it was carried out by the specialist Columbia veterinarian Hector Mendez. Now, we were talking about Molly Mules being bred by Jackson Stallions earlier, but this is actual embryo transplant that is proving to be a more common practice all the time, and especially in the racing industry where they want, if they've got a well-bred, winning thoroughbred, then they want more than just one a year, and now they can get them by putting these embryo transplants into Molly Mules. The embryo that they did at Criadero Villaluz was from a Pasifino mare called La Carencia, and the Pasifino donkey Cosico 16 de Villaluz. The pregnancy was 11 months and the delivery was normal with no complications. The mule knew exactly what to do and behaved as an expert mother, even if it was her first time. The baby was a female donkey.
Oh my gosh.
And it was called La Bien Querida,
oh.
The much loved. But that's not the end of the story. Just 12 hours before the mule, Chucarina, gave birth, the egg donor mare also gave birth to another mule foal from the same donkey, Cosico 16. Two foals born the same day with the same dam and sire, and they aren't twins. Are you a bit confused? The explanation is simple. 18 days after the embryo was taken out of the mare, she had her cycle and was inseminated again and got pregnant. This time, they left the embryo in and another mule was born.
Wow.
This is just really amazing stuff here to me.
Sure.
You know, even if most mules are sterile, they have a maternal instinct. And they have been known to steal foals from mares. And being more aggressive than mares, a lot of times they are successful. So you really got to be careful where you put your mare mules in. And I wouldn't put them in a pasture with pregnant mares and mares at a fold. They just do that.
Sure.
They said at Criadero Villaluz, they had a case where La Rosa de Villaluz fell in love with a foal of a mare and tried to steal her. She kept very close to it for weeks, showing angry signs to the mare and a maternal attitude towards the foal. when the mare and foal were transferred to another pasture, the mule brayed for days. We have also been told of another case where an orphan foal was adopted by a mule, and after 2 days, the mule started producing milk.
Wow.
So even though some mules have ovulation cycles, only 60 cases of mules giving birth have been documented in the last 500 years around the world. In 1976 in Colombia, South America, a mule called Gavioto gave birth not only once but twice. First to a baby foal that looked like a horse, and after 16 months to a baby foal that looked like a mule, both fathered by the same horse called Arandu. There are no documented cases involving fertile male mules. As you can see, mules never stop surprising us, as they are lovely animals, and there are still loads to learn about them. Most mules are sterile, but rarely they can reproduce. However, you're more likely to be struck by lightning than own a mule that's able to have a baby. Here are the stories of some of the mules that have had babies throughout history. There have been two documented cases in America where mules had given birth, and even more in other parts of the world. And I already talked about the two here in America. Several female mules have produced offspring when mated with a purebred horse or donkey. Since 1527, there's been more than 60 documented cases of foals born to female mules around the world. There are no recorded cases of fertile mule stallions. Since mules and hinnies have 63 chromosomes, and donkeys and horses have 62 and 64 respectively, the different structure and number usually prevents the chromosomes from pairing up properly and creating successful embryos. In most fertile mare mule cases, the mare passes on a complex set of her maternal genes, for example, from her horse pony mother to the foal. A female mule bred to a horse will therefore produce 100% horse foal. One of the first historical accounts of producing offspring comes from Herodotus's The Histories. There happens to be a portent of another kind while he was still at Sardi. A mule brought forth young and gave birth to a mule. Such a thing was considered a very bad omen indeed. In fact, Herodotus considered it foreshadowing of the Xerxes invasion. A fertile mule will also disprove ancient theories of biology as determined by Aristotle and other Greek philosophers. An animal species is determined based on its ability to reproduce. So a mule is not a separate species like a horse or donkey. But what is the species of a mule's offspring then? Without the DNA pairs matching, the rest of meiosis does not happen, which means that there are no viable eggs or sperm. Besides the differences in the DNA sequence, the mule also has a lonely horse chromosome. This extra chromosome, some research conjectures, might be another reason most mules are infertile. Cornavin and Lesbre stated that in 1873, an Arabian mule in Africa was spread to a stallion and produced a female offspring. The parents and the offspring were sent to the Jardin d'Acclimatation in Paris. The mule produced a second female offspring sired by the same stallion, and then two male offspring, one sired by a donkey and the other sired by a stallion. The female progeny were fertile, but their offspring were feeble and died at birth. Kosar Ewart recorded an Indian case in which a female gave birth to a male colt. A comparable case is that of a fertile hinny, donkey mother and horse sire, the reverse of a mule, in China. Her offspring, named Dragon Foal, was sired by a donkey. Scientists expected a donkey foal if the mother had passed on her maternal chromosomes in the same way as a mule. However, dragon foal resembles a strange donkey with mule-like features. Her chromosomes and DNA tests confirm that she is a previously undocumented combination. In Morocco, a mare mule produced a male foal that was 75% donkey and 25% horse. She passed on a mixture of genes instead of passing on her maternal chromosomes in the expected way. Miracle Mule was confirmed with DNA tests that confirmed that the Moroccan mule did give birth to a foal. The veterinary experts say that the foal's father was a donkey and its mother a true mule. The foal inherited a mixture of donkey and mule chromosomes via the mother's ovum. Mule cases with offspring have been reported to be quite numerous in Morocco. Morocco's mules are also used in the equine industry for embryo transplants. Pregnancy is rare, but can occasionally occur naturally as well as through the embryo transfer. A few mare mules have produced offspring when mated with a horse or donkey stallion. Herodotus gives account of such an event as an ill omen of Xerxes' invasion of Greece in 480 BC. There happened to also portend another kind while he was still at Sardi. A mule brought forth and gave birth to a mule. And that's in Herodotus, the Histories, chapter 7, verse 57. And a mule's giving birth was a frequently recorded portent in antiquity, although scientific writers also doubted whether it was really possible. Mm-hmm. So these things have been written about, but because they weren't documented legitimately as we expect to be, they just kind of discounted those. Mm-hmm. Between 1527 and 2002, approximately 60 such births were reported. In Morocco in early 2002 and in Colorado in 2007, mare mules produced colts. Blood and hair examples from the Colorado birth verified that the mother was indeed a mule and the foal was indeed her offspring. In the 1920s, this was when Old Beck, the mare mule at Texas A&M, produced a daughter named Kit, and when bred to the stallion, produced her horse son, Stallion. When bred to a donkey, she produced mule offspring, and she was a mare mule that was owned by a farmer in East Texas. Mules are usually considered infertile, but Old Beck had been mated to a jack and produced a foal that was clearly a mule named Kit. When she was brought to Texas A&M in 1921, Old Beck was mated to the stallion and also produced a living colt. However, this time, a horse named Pat Murphy Jr. And the odd thing about him was he had one long ear and one short ear, which I thought was hilarious. I saw it in the picture. You know?
Wow.
It just perked my interest even more.
Oh, yeah.
No other offspring were ever produced from subsequent matings, and Kit never produced any offspring. However, Pat Murphy was a fertile sire. This story caught the attention of many, making Old Beck quite famous. In 1995, a group from the Federal University of Minas Gerais described a female mule that was pregnant for a seventh time, having previously produced two donkey sires, two foals with the typical 63 chromosomes of mules, and several horse stallions that had produced four foals. The three of the latter available for testing each bore 64 horse-like chromosomes. These foals phenotypically resembled horses, although they bore markings absent from the sire's known lineages, and one had ears noticeably longer than those typically of her sire's breed. The elder two horse-like foals had proved fertile at the time of publication, with their progeny being typical of horses. The best documented case was Krauss, who produced two male offspring when bred back to her own sire, biological father. And they wrote an article about her, and I'll read you a little bit about this. It said, they said it couldn't be done, but Krauss did it. The young mule owned by Arthur Bill Sylvester family of Champion, Nebraska, foaled a healthy mule last July 6th. The Sylvesters were as surprised as anyone. Because of the extreme once-in-a-blue-moon odds under which such a phenomenon occurs, the Sylvesters named the new arrival Blue Moon. The birth of a mule results from the breeding of a male horse with a male donkey. Krauss, Blue Moon's mother, was produced on the Sylvester farm. Her mother is a Welsh pony mare named Annie, and her father, a Jack named Chester. Chester is a prolific Jack who also is the father of the newborn mule, Blue Moon. The Sylvesters permitted Chester to run with the mules because the females were thought to be infertile.
Well,
I guess that wasn't necessarily true, was it? Because everyone knows that mules do not reproduce, you can imagine what Bill thought when he looked out in the pasture of mules to find what appeared to be a newborn colt. He told his son Kim they better head out to investigate. Sure enough, there was Krauss, a two-year-old mule they had raised from birth with a perfectly normal mule colt. The colors and markings were almost identical to her mother. When Blue Moon was born, the Sylvesters contacted Dr. Dave Johnson, a local veterinarian, to have him vouch for this unusual birth. Within a short time, Dr. Kurt Bernierski, director of the Center for Reproduction of Endangered Species at the San Diego Zoo in California, was called to arrange for scientific testing and verification. Dr. Johnson was commissioned to take blood samples from Krauss, the mother, Blue Moon, the foal, and the grandmother, a Welsh pony mare, and the father, a grandfather, a jackass male donkey. A horse is supposed to have 64 chromosomes, a donkey 62, and a mule 63. Blood samples and other technical testing have verified that Blue Moon is indeed the first scientifically verified mule colt foaled from a Molly mule. In mid-August, the Sylvesters received word from Dr. Brudensky with the big news. Krauss is truly a Molly mule with 63 chromosomes, and her new son, Blue Moon, is also a mule with 63 chromosomes.
Wow.
The father and grandfather is a verified jackass with 62 chromosomes, and the grandmother of a true female horse with 64 chromosomes. So what do you call the foal of a mule? The cross between a male horse and a jenny is called a hinny. Therefore, the cross of a jack and a mule could logically be called a jewel. This would make Blue Moon a real jewel. Scientists will be studying Blue Moon carefully to test his capacity to reproduce as he matures. And Krauss will be observed closely for the remainder of her life. Will she continue to beat the odds by producing more foals? Or was her amazing feat truly once in a blue moon? Krauss from Nebraska did foal twice by a jack with two mule-like foals. The first with Blue Moon, and then the second with White Lightning. Now, we've gone even further than this article suggests, and the University of Idaho, sponsored by Don Jacklin, went one step further to clone mules.
Oh, yeah.
So, in Spokane, 2 weeks after announcing the birth of the first clone mule, the same research team said a second clone mule with identical DNA has been born. The mule named Utah Pioneer was born, and the first one was Idaho Jim. And the mule named Utah Pioneer was born natural and unassisted on Monday morning, according to this article. The male mule joined his mother. The mule foal joined his brother, Idaho Jim, whose birth was announced on May 29th, as the only equine clones in the world. The clones are the result of the work by researchers Gordon Woods and Dirk Vanderwaal from the University of Idaho and Ken White from Utah State University. Both of these clone foals are siblings of Taz, a champion racing mule owned by Idaho businessman and mule enthusiast Don Jacklin of Post Falls, Idaho. The foals carry identical DNA from fetal skin cell culture established 5 years ago at UI with Taz's mother and father. Utah Pioneer weighed 78 pounds at birth and is very active and healthy, and already very active, according to this article. Woods said in a news release, the cloning team will again submit samples to the University of California at Davis Lab for independent verification, as was done with Idaho Jim. He's a male mule, and he looks like Idaho Jim, Woods said. Preliminary testing last year showed the method developed by the researchers to clone a mule should work equally well with a horse, something Woods said he plans to do. This is an important birth because it provides repeatability to the project and strengthens the results. White said the May 4th birth of Idaho Jim, announced by Science Magazine in May 29, added mules to the barnyard of cloned animals that already included sheep, cows, pigs, cats, and rodents. Mules are bred by the mating of a male donkey with a female horse. The breeding success is about the same donkey and horse mare and allowed the resulting fetus to grow for 45 days. This provided the DNA needed for the clone. The researchers then harvested the eggs from the horse mares. After removing the nucleus from each egg, the researchers inserted the DNA from the male fetal cells. The eggs were then placed into the wombs of female horses. Of 307 attempts, there were 21 pregnancies, and 3 carried to full term. The third clone mule is due in August after this article was written. Jacqueline paid $400,000 to finance the 4-year mule cloning project. These are incredible advances that we have seen scientifically in our mule industry. So, like I said at the beginning, the people that thought, oh, well, you get one mule and you breed a Jack to a Stallion, and so he's only got one life, and that's pretty worthless, has really been proven completely untrue. There are so many things that this study on mules has produced, and who knows what more we will discover in the future.
Oh, you bet. This is amazing to record all of these events. This is really, really good stuff here.
I think it's really, really good that we did this interview, so it's recorded in this interview.
Oh, sure.
Because how long do you think these magazine articles are going to last? You hear about places that burn down and all their records with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the more places we can put this kind of information, the better the chances of the survival of the information is.
Oh, you bet. You bet.
So I think what we're doing is super important, Cindy.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's just that such negative thinking when you think about breeding for a mule and then you just get that one mule and you think, well, this is it. The possibilities are just, there are so
endless.
Many. Yeah.
And isn't it important that we recognize that when we are talking about anything?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Learning to train, learning to ride, learning about tack and equipment, and even just learning how to grow as people. There are so many things that are important to learn that are really just awesome to discover. So I think it's really important that we keep an open mind and we keep learning and we keep researching and asking why, and just loading up our lives with all these amazing things.
Oh, yeah.
All these amazing discoveries.
Sure, sure. Years ago, I owned a black Arabian henny. and she was gorgeous and so smart. And of course, she was very, very hot. And what attracted me to her is because I read in this magazine that Wayne Newton owned all Arabians, you know, so he was into that. So I wrote him a letter, and I'm still waiting for him to answer that letter.
He's a busy man, I'll tell you. But I gotta say, he is a busy man. He is one of my favorite singers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did get the opportunity to visit his ranch in Las Vegas way back when, which I thought was amazing. He had some beautiful Arabian horses.
Oh,
absolutely beautiful. And I got to see the statue of Aramis, his original sire. So that was kind of an experience, you know, just to see all that. But I'll let him off the hook and say he's just a really busy man.
Well, I feel better now.
Yeah, as you should, you know. Celebrities have a hard time answering people because if you think about it, how many hundreds of thousands of letters must they get? And how many of them do they actually get to read, or is it staff reading it?
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
And the staff that read your letter might not have known how completely unique your letter was. Because it was a mule or a henny.
There you go.
It's probably got discounted. That's okay. We bring those things to the surface.
Well, we don't shred our podcast.
That's right. We don't. And not only that, we reproduce them in paper as well that are stored in the vaults on the Lucky Three Ranch. And the vaults are fireproof.
Oh, yes. I know. That is amazing. When I did that tour, that walkthrough, that is just super cool.
Well, I went through all the trouble of doing diaries and taking pictures and making videos of everything that I have learned so that I could share it with people. And I heard about all these people stealing intellectual property and all of that.
Right.
And I thought, you know, I have to keep this stuff safe. So I went ahead and went through the expense and the trouble of having a place where I could store all this stuff. And not only that, I got two vaults on the place.
Yeah.
Two fireproof vaults.
Mm-hmm.
Because I make duplicate copies of it in case one of them somehow goes, then it's still stored somewhere else. And then we have a third copy that is stored of everything, is stored with my graphics artist in a completely different town.
Mm, okay, very good.
So the chances of losing all this, what I would call valuable information, we hope is slim to none. But that's why I really want to share it with people and give them the benefit of all the things that I have learned. Because it is so interesting. And every time we do a new podcast, we're doing a new subject.
Sure.
And that can prove to people how extensive this knowledge can be. And I would encourage people, if they have stories to tell, we would love to hear them.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And we will go ahead and document it, and their stories will be preserved in our vault.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Well, Meredith, we knocked another one right out of the corral.
Yay! Right.
This has all been good, and thank you for educating us on this. This is really fascinating.
My pleasure.
You enjoy the rest of your day.
You do the same.
Okay, we will talk soon.
Sounds perfect.
Meredith's website is lucky3ranch.com, and you can call her at 1-800-816-7566. And I can be reached through my website, everycowgirlsdream.com.
Gotta go. My mule is looking for me.
Mule Talk is an Every Cowgirl's Dream production.